Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. We're sharing in the first service, and we'll continue here, on the passion of our Christ. What did I call it? Say it loud like you heard it. The passion of our Christ. I want us to read verse 24 together. Verse 24. But that's the A part. Let's go. Therefore, verse 24, the A part, Ephesians 5 and 24. Let's go. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. That's okay. It says the church is subject unto Christ. In other words, the church is under Christ. Subject. What that means to be under his supervision. Under his authority. The church is not dictated to by the government. No, the church is not dictated to by politics. No, we can't take it. We can't take it. How would they remove CIK from our curriculum? We won't take it again. Oh, well, we're going to fight. We're going to pray about it. And I'm asking, how many of you got born again in your CIK class? Waste of time. About how many CIK teachers are Christians? Just a waste of energy. No! The next election, which means Christians, we are going to stand up. You have lost track with your head. You are no longer subject to Christ in your actions. Because you must draw your passion from the head. What is his passion? So, what is the church doing about the recession system now? We have to do something. We have to do something. The church has to do something. Do what? Is that the passion of our Christ? No. And so, in the first service, we began to look at the passion of Christ. The first thing we saw was that he came to the world. Remember that? He came to the world. Luke's Gospel 1:77. Talking about John the Baptist. He said, he came to give knowledge of the remission of sins. Luke's 1:77. Matthew 1:21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Some say he came to save. That's why he came. He came to save. John 10:10. I am come that you may have life. And that life, he calls it abundant. All the recipients are abundant. That's why he came. He didn't come to change the economy of the world. He didn't come to upset government. If he came to upset government, it's very likely he would have fought a war against Herod. And imagine if he was going to do that, who were the people that he surrounded himself with? Teenagers? Some of them went bonkers when I said the disciples were teenagers. Some guys couldn't jump on them. You know why? Because many folks have wasted their youth. No, I can't take it. It's not possible for a 20-year-old boy to have a wife and an in-law. And I say, your forefathers, how old were they when they were getting married? That was 1,000 years ago. Your young boys. Teenagers. How old they were? And he surrounded himself with them. He carried them all over the place. And girls. Ladies unmarried. Who didn't come with their husbands. They were following him. From place to place. And we saw in the first service, Jesus was always what? Moving around. Always. Said the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no wing. And he built no house. He didn't have his ministry headquarters was in the bush. Why was he using the desert? Because it was free. and cheap. Desert means no one is there. Free. It's no one's land. He goes there. They're holding the meetings. He uses people's boats. He uses the, and the boat is not a boat that has a cabin. They have the pilots. No. It's row, row, row your boat. He says, and that's his preaching from there. He goes from house to house. No house of his own. No car of his own. Those days he used chariots and donkeys. He didn't have his own. People fail to admit that Jesus Christ was not wealthy at all. He was never wealthy. The man who changed this world and our history forever was not a millionaire. Hallelujah. The man who took us into God's will and purpose was not a millionaire. He was not a politician. He was not an IT expert. Come on, shout hallelujah to that. He was not a financial guru. Praise God. He wasn't a great social leader. No, he was not. The man who changed the whole world was not an NGO chief executive. No, he wasn't. The man who changed the history of the world wasn't even married. I'm married. The man who changed the history of the world, he wasn't handsome. He's so handsome than any man I know. No, he wasn't. He had no form nor cunningness that we should desire. He was not a fine boy. The man who changed the history of this world was in his 30s. Why did he come? He came, said the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, came to seek and save that which is lost. His passion motivated everything he was doing. He came to seek. That's why you will not find him waiting for people to come to him. He went to them by himself. We saw that in the first service. He talked to people. He went to people. He went to them himself. In John 4, he's hungry. He sent his folks out to get food. And he's thirsty. And a woman is at the well. He said, give me water to drink. And throughout that conversation, he never took water from her. That conversation led to him sharing about the good news. That's why he came. The disciples came and said, Master, aren't you hungry again? We have 4 course meals, 6 course meals, 10 course meals. He said, my meat. Ha ha. So they were thinking, he's likely Papa's eating. His mouth, see how he's shining. He was hungry before we left him. How come he's now radiating all of this man? He's not fasting. There's some guys when they are fasting, you give the question there. Bro? There's some brother like that. He claimed he was fasting. He will spend a lot of time in the bathroom. And he will shower. A long time, you know, then we need to fast drinking water. So I still don't. There's no wrong. So he was take a while. So he came out. The afternoon. Sir, come close. I was the one that found out. I saw a piece of groundnut. I guess, bro. He both said, I don't know how you got there. It's not in your head. It's in your mouth. How does it get to your mouth? So here's Jesus, he's hungry. He's supposed to come back and he said, Master, you must have eaten. He said, no. He turned to them and said, my meat is to do the will of he that sent me and to finish it. John 4:34. Say, I'm subject to Christ. Say, I'm subject to Christ. His passion is my passion. Hallelujah. He went to people. He talked to them. In John 4, in John 5 again, he goes to the pool of Siloam. He goes there. He doesn't wait for them to come. No, he goes. He goes there himself. To talk to them. To talk to the sick man, pardon me. He goes there. Doesn't wait. Hallelujah. Doesn't invite people to church. No. How would a Christian, how did he even do it? You brought someone who has not believed the gospel to church and you enter the same car. You even drove. Don't worry. Today, you'll be surprised at what God will do. Something is wrong with you. You couldn't get into a conversation about Christ. Why? So, well, I have not been trained to preach. Nobody trains anybody to preach. You share your faith because you have believed. That's it. That's what it is. Because you have believed. There's no training. So you open your mouth like this. Ha, ha, good morning, everybody. No. You know how to talk to people? Yes, you do. That's all. That's all. So Jesus, let's get back to this. He goes from place to place. Acts 10:38, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did he do? He was going from place to place. In other words, he'll get on the Okada. Praise God. He'll get on the Marwa, right? He'll get in the bus. Ah! He'll get in there. He's going there to share. He's talking to people. He went from place to place. And those young folks with him, James and John, Matthew, all of them, from place to place, talking about the Word of God, talking about Christ. They weren't waiting. The Son of Man came to seek. The word to seek means to search out, to look for. When last did you look for someone to share the gospel, to share about Christ? Many of us know how to engage in discussions. Sometimes on people's issues. You call somebody on the phone. I am discussing somebody that somebody told you about somebody. Hey, hold on, hold on. Somebody will call you for your business. You say, let me call you back. Let me call you. I'm on a very serious call. Hello? It's true. In fact, it's true. And 1 hour. 2 hours. 2 hours. And you talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Then they say, in your zone, let's go for evangelism. Say, how long is it? Say, just go out. No, no, you've just had 2 hours of talk. Some will be on that phone like this. You are touching them. 1 hour. And you are playing Living Web Media in the background. For sound effects. There's a group of evangelists who say, how long? He said, maybe it's 2 hours. Why? No? Why? What? Why? Why? What? Okay, let's go. Hey, good morning. Good morning. How are you? Fine. I'm not talking about Jesus. The guy says, what about Jesus? Well, he loves you. I hope you know. You don't know? Why don't you know? Huh? Give your life or he gives his life. One of the two. The guy says, well, I really don't think Jesus died for me. Well, don't think he didn't believe. Bye-bye. You just spent 2 hours on the phone with someone. Or you were watching, oh God. You watch it again. And again. You're laughing. 1 hour. To spend with someone that Christ loves. 10 minutes. Your bum bum is hitting you. Don't worry. That guy said, we have questions about God. Don't worry. Just come to my church. My pastor talks a lot. After 1 month, all your questions will be answered. Okay? The guy says, talk to me now. I said, don't worry. Number 6, always sit near my egg. I'll come and bring you. What a shame. 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 He came to seek. To seek. How do you seek? You know how you seek for something? How you write an application? Remember, we were going for a contract years ago. By the time we wrote different letters of intent, with different wordings, 1 year, we were still seeking. 1 year, we got our belly. 1 year, but it was sold after 10 minutes. I'll be praying for you. Because not all will be saved. Not all will be saved. So, if you just cover your cabin and say, maybe it's not the will of God that you'll be saved. Okay. But to get a contract, hey, you call somebody else. Can you help me talk to you? Do you know anybody in so-and-so PLC? I know the secretary. Secretary to the secretary of the secretary of... Hey, but can that secretary give me the number? And you know how you are seeking. So they come to the person's office. So you can only see the man for 12 o'clock. Between 12... But a man told me, he was the chairman of the multinational. He said, you can only see me between 12:05 and 12:15. I was at the gate 6:30 a.m. See, love of money. He can destroy you. And I was speaking in tongues. Because of money. So I said, please, can you come and pray with me? 6:30 a.m. That's too early now. So I can 6:30 a.m. Don't worry, I'll pray with you on the phone. And I'm there. By the time I entered the man's office, he said, all right, shoot. So you have 10 minutes. See presentation. So we said, you have 4 more minutes. What was I saying? Don't repeat yourself. I've heard the first one. At the end of the day, he said, we'll consider you. They did it. And I went and I felt bad. What do I do? I call somebody else. Can you talk to that man for me? But his soul didn't feel bad. Then the guy said, I don't want to hear you. He said, hey, you don't want to hear. Okay. Take care. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Praise God. Gala. That's your own meat. That's not your meat. They can have gala. They have a busobo. I mean, but to seek some evil boy in damsel. A lady just to have 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. We haven't prayed about it. The heart of kings and prayed at the end of the Lord. Yes, Lord. It's done. When we are leading to, leading our perception, your own is, leading our perception. I sense it. 1 year! Then says, after 1 year, she says, I'll consider it. I say, serious. You consider it. No, it is done. In 1 hour, you stay with someone. You just rush it. Just resist it. Because soon after you, you get to the gospel. Whosoever believes. Have you believed? I believe. Just say after me quickly. Heavenly Father, King of glory, Lord God, I said to you, Amen. Give me your name, your phone number. Bye bye. The Son of Man came to seek. To seek and save
them that have lost. In Luke's Gospel 15, he gave a parable. Say, which one of you? Which one of you who have 100 sheep and one is lost? Whenever you see parables, don't ever take parables as applicable. It's an error. Parables is just to make to liken this. It's not the same thing he's talking about. Don't say that means that we are the 99. Mm-mm. The issue is that one sheep. Okay? Just like prodigal son story has nothing to do with the church. It's just a story that typifies how a man loves his son. That's all. Don't say the firstborn is the Jew. The secondborn is the Gentile. Then who is the father? The law. Don't think like that. He said the sheep. He goes after one. See, he finds it. Say until. In that parable, the two parables he used the word until. He finds it. He goes after. You can't come to church and be raising your hands. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you're crying. Some of the crying is sin consciousness. And then you say, as you're cleaning your hands, say, brother, bless you for coming today. We are going out to reach the unsaved. Why today? Today is Sunday now. Why do you big Sunday? Since coming to, why is your home so difficult? Other ministries. Why Sunday? Sunday already, first service. I came to the end anyway. Second service, we have done study group. Then to go and reach the lost. They won't be lost by Tuesday. Don't worry, I will stay. Where are you going? You want to go and visit somebody? To look for degrees. Many of us were forced to sit down in class. Forced. You will have preferred. They said, just jump, and collect your certificate. If they gave you an option, take your certificate, after 5 days, just be jumping around the university. Or stay for 5 years. You say, no, I don't believe in that. I want to stay for 5 years. You stayed in that class. Sometimes you are praying that the rain should destroy the classroom. Have you ever been in? I don't want to take my bar exam. A guy was praying for disaster to happen in law school. I said, Moshud, what is that? Hands up. I'm not red. So along the line there was a fire incident. Say, did anybody die? I said no. He said, oh, so they will close law school. We all sat down in those classes 2 hours a day to get a degree that will mean nothing in eternity. But to seek people is a challenge. You know how to call people for birthday. Guy, falling. Make sure you slay. You slay. I slay, babe. I'm slaying for Jesus. You are not okay. We have even turned Jesus into something. I'm slaying for Jesus. Don't just slay. Be sly. Say, come on. Somebody has died. Well, same thing. Has died. You now call the whole world to come and celebrate the person. The person has not been raised from the dead, though. You now take your whole, everybody to your hometown. And your hometown is hometown. Some of you, your hometown is this way to. This way to, this way to, this way to, this way to. Without entering your hometown. You took everybody there. They say, I don't like to force people about Christ. I don't like to force people. I believe that God doesn't force people. But you took everybody to your hometown. Isn't they wanted to go? Most people, they're like, if I don't go. If you're a politician, for example, people will follow you to name your dog. But the day you leave office, you know why they were following you. Jesus has called us to have his own passion. What will make God, the God of the world, come to the world, and it depends on human being to support him materially. The one who made the world. And men were not giving him money to spend. They were now cooking for him. He couldn't say, Eloi, Eloi, ma, pakakakane. Ah. And then food comes. They had to prepare it for him. They had to go and buy it. Why? He came to seek. So the work of the passion of Christ demands sacrifice. It's not comfort. There's sacrifice in it. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, in the church, it's either you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, it's either you are a missionary, pardon me, or you are an impostor. That is, if you are not found with this passion of Christ, you are an impostor. What would a man, how would a man explain to us that he's born again and he's not sharing the gospel? How? So, wow, I'm born again now, you know. Before I born again, I used to struggle with my academics. The moment I got born again, I moved from F's to A's. See God, he's lying to you. He pays the loan. I entered this church. I was jobless. My applications, as I started seeing it, to people selling a car. It got that bad. I was seeing my name with those selling pop-up. So as I entered, the God of this commission, the God of this community. Don't mention my name, oh. As I called upon him, brethren, I now employ 500 people that I want that. Woo! Come and join me, sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh has done me well. You are an idol worshiper. Bro, let's go with evangelism. I'll give you guys money to buy refreshment when you are done. No. Something is wrong with you. You don't even value what he values. The man wrote something, I think it was last year. It was fiction, but it made sense. People were giving testimonies in church. Oh, somebody comes and says, praise the Lord, I just got a house, I saw Street London. Hey! Oh my God, oh my God. God of wonders, everybody singing. God of wonders beyond the majesty. Galaxy, everybody singing. Hey, the other person, praise the Lord. Brethren, I was trying to travel out of the country. But they gave me visa without my passport. Shall be permanent. Shall be permanent. What the Lord has done for me. Praise the Lord, brethren. You know, yesterday, I went under the bridge. There's an area, boys. Everybody just switch off. That's preaching. I mean, they got born again. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. Thank God for your life, brother. May God strengthen you. May God strengthen you. I mean, may he keep you to the end. Amen. There's somebody else. There's somebody going to say, praise the Lord. Last week, I received the joy of salvation. I'm not born again. They're waiting for the testimony. Yes. And the joy of salvation. Yes. Thank God for that. Yes. So what has he now done since last week? What has he done since that last week? Nothing. No. He has to show his glory in your life. Praise the Lord. What is his passion? Jesus didn't come to set up a kingdom on earth. They wanted to make him a king. He said, He said, no. Things we would have celebrated. Praise the Lord. You know, I was given an award yesterday for the most influential businessman. Wow! See the glory of God all over me. Thank you. It's not me. It's the grace of God. You know, it's not me. What did I even do to merit all this? Hallelujah. It's not a salvation, it's a word. Praise the Lord. Oh, you know, we found out that this guy, he's a Christian, he's a born again. In the financial sector, he's the guru. Wow! That's what we're talking about. kingdom takeover.
What a shame. What a shame. The things that matter, what are the things heaven will celebrate? Is that man at night sitting down with that confused man for hours, talking to him about Christ? Heaven is waiting. Heaven is waiting for that man to say yes to the gospel. Heaven is waiting. Hallelujah. Every other thing is vanity, church. It will come and go. The only thing that will remain at the end of this world is salvation. That's all. So when I carry the message of the gospel, I am carrying an eternal walk. Something when I die, and I'm alive because Christians don't die, I will see it again. I will see it again. I value my salvation. Because I value my salvation more than my degree, more than anything I've done in the flesh. Therefore, I value people receiving salvation. When are we going to see our opportunities? Opportunities to travel, opportunities to see people, to talk to people, opportunities and platforms that we have. When are we going to see them as opportunities for us to share the gospel with the people that we see? A man told me the story, and I don't have a reason to believe him, because I confirmed it from someone else years back. There was this major Nigerian figure who was known to be nearly atheist, and he said he found himself walking at I think it was Cromwell Hospital in London. He went there for a short stay, and so the man was ill, obviously was brought there, and he came in there, you know, virtually okay, just came for a checkup, but somehow they had to admit him. So everybody was excited, the Nigerian students, the Nigerian doctors, they're wow! And they were there, you know, I don't know whether they took pictures, but everybody was excited. You know, but he said, wow, this is that opportunity to preach to this man. So he sat down with him, he said he ensured he waited behind at night, and he stayed behind, and he shared the gospel with him. And only that fellow can tell me and tell everybody today that man got born again. Because he did. And I confirmed it from a man by Reverend Paul Junod, who did confirm it as well, that it was true. The man shared the gospel. That night, that man passed on. Imagine the others taking pictures. They're excited about, wow, this Nigerian hero is here. Only one man saw eternity. No matter how long you live, it's going to end someday. But what will never end is called salvation. To seek and save them that are lost. This is the passion, the overwhelming passion of Christ. That's why he's called Christ. He's not called Christ because he heals the sick. He's not called Christ because he can calm the storms. He's not called Christ because he's not called Christ because he was born in a manger. He's not called Christ because he's incarnate. He's called Christ because he came to save. When you look at believers in other climes, no persecutions here. You see them. Persecution heavy. China. You see people in Iraq, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia. You know, and you hear their testimonies of how in those nations people are saved in their millions. You know, they are not saved through social media. They are not saved through church buildings. You get my point? They are not saved through any other thing but believers sharing their faith. Church, that method has not changed. Nothing has changed that truth. To talk to people on behalf of God doesn't change. To engage them. To start a conversation. How many conversations have you had this week? How many had to do with Jesus? You talk politics, you talk sports, you talk the nation, you talk every other thing. You talk the weather, you talk marriage, romance, children, you talk finances, you talk money, you talk business. Did you talk Christ? Look at our prayer meetings, not ours here. People pray for selfish reasons. Just about self. I want this. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. Give me. Have you considered what God needs? He doesn't need a car. He doesn't need a house. He needs souls, men and women, boys and girls. Have you thought about folks in your class before you teach them sex education? Those young boys and young girls, you think they can't know Christ? Thought about it? Look at that opportunity you have in schools, in colleges, in different places in the world. Have you carried with you the passion of Christ? See, he's not interested in who becomes the president of this country. He's not interested in the nation, whether it's divided, restructuring, reset. There's no nation put together by God. Men put it together. From the days of Peleg, men put it together. What God wants is his nation. His nation. The chosen generation. The royal priesthood. The holy nation. What he wants. In particular about that. What he wants, what's his passion, what's his overwhelming desire. He wants you and I to seek for people. Muslims are not X-rayed. I'm X from God. No. There are people reaching Muslims every day in Muslim nations. That means, I'm saying, where they will kill you for preaching. There are people preaching every day. That doesn't happen here. There are people in Borno State. There are people in core Muslim states in Nigeria, as it were. What they do every day is go out on that street and talk to people. So my point is this. Is that your passion? Do you have it at all? Where are your conversations? What are they about? See, it's not for oh, young men. Okay, just young folks, they have the time. The man I spoke about yesterday in that Muslim nation, the man is in his 60s. His neck was so beaten, was swollen, and then he couldn't move it. So I said, I prayed for him. They said, keep praying for him because he has gone out again. And I'm in the comfort of an air-conditioned car, and I'm thinking, I don't need to pray for him. He needs to pray for me. You get my point? Was an overwhelming passion to see men know the Savior. You can engage in conversation. In the book of Acts, the proof that men received the gospel was that they were sharing it. How would you take men, whip them, flog them, and then, you know, and then the next thing is they're crying, glory! What? That was their testimony. Glory! Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just got a slap now for sharing the gospel. Glory to God! And they called them, all of them, they called them the chief priests, and they warned them, they threatened them. These are guys that could use soldiers against you. And they said, look, the next time we see you guys on the street sharing the gospel, we'll deal with you. And before they did that, they gave them like strokes of pain. And they went out and said, woo! That was the reason for their praise worship. Not some, thank you, Father. Oh my God. That brother just got the house. That brother just got the car. That brother just came back from the White House or Blue House or Black House. No, it was that brother just got slapped for preaching the gospel. Everybody go, woo! Want to share it like you. Like you. The Bible says, and they cease not to preach daily. Acts 5:42. They ceased not to preach
daily.
I know many of you listening to me this afternoon, you used to preach. You used to. I sense that so strongly. You used to. You dropped it. Why? It's not a season of our lives. It is our entire life. Our entire life. To talk to people about Jesus. Remember when I was leaving university, they asked me in the yearbooks, what do you want to do? What's your desire for the next 5 years? I said, that every man in the world should hear about Jesus. The guy said, no. Pastor Shanks, I get your point. But I'm saying, your desire. I say, it's the same. It's the same thing. Money can't value that. Alright. Someone told me, said, your profile was dull. I'm dull. Because my message is salvation. Not entertainment. So, brothers and sisters, do you have the passion of Christ? That's my question this afternoon as we close. Do you have the passion of Christ? Faith must be shared before faith is believed. You must share it. I repeat Charles Spurgeon. You are either a missionary Christian or you are an impostor. Are you an impostor? It's all about your Christian walk. You. Are you an impostor? How can you be in a local church like this? You hear God's word every Sunday, Wednesday, available resources, some of them to hundreds and hundreds of hours, and you still don't have enough motivation to find time to tell people about Jesus. I've spoken to missionaries in the past few days, and some of them are in Muslim nations. One of them said this to me, and it blessed my heart, is in Tunisia. Tunisia, Morocco, Egypt, he goes around. I know a few of them like that. He said, and he blessed me. He said, listening to you, it stirs my heart to know that what I am doing is not in vain. He said, ever since I started listening to you, he said, I have not doubled up my evangelism or my outreaches in those nations. It's now times 100. Because I know that once a man believes it, Jesus takes care of him. He said initially, I met another person in the East. He said the same thing. He said, I used to get worried when I go to those places and I'm risking my life. I'm risking my days. And sometimes in the heat of the night, dead of the night. He said, but now that I know what salvation is, I'm never worried again. I'm now inspired to share Jesus all over the place. And that's why these folks who argue against what salvation is, they're just too misguided. This inspires the missionary. That's why Bunky keeps coming. He understands what it is. That the moment I share about the risen Christ and someone says yes to it, he by faith in his heart, I'm definitely going to see him again in eternity. No matter what happens on earth, he knows that. Having to know that alone, my dear, is enough to inspire me to hit the streets. And stay long with that fellow till he hears it, till he believes it, until he becomes one of us. Amen. That's my overwhelming passion. See the world hear about Jesus. And I'll give everything I have to do this. It's a young boy who will travel the coast of West Africa and then who will go in the dead of the night. I remember one day we had to hitchhike and then we went to a nation that they spoke just French. We went to a particular village that they couldn't speak English, we couldn't speak their language. And I said to them, well, we commit ourselves to God. We didn't even know who they were. We were going there to preach. Went from here, Ivory Coast by road. Dead of the night. What was the passion? What was the passion that motivates people to go from place to place? Sometimes their health is bad. They are feeling pains. So I said, I'm tired. You just call your junior pastor. I'm sorry, I can't come today. I'm being very strong. And then come. I mean, I'm strong.
I'm very strong.
In the university, I will never forget, we went to pray at a place called Zion in Lorraine. And then we got there, and as we were about to start the prayer meeting, it now began to rain. So my HOD told us, guys, let's pray tomorrow because of rain. Now, as we were about to pack our sinful life to leave the place, they wheeled in a guy on the wheelchair in the same rain. And the guy is praying. He said, there's no greater judgment. Now, what just happened? You don't get judged. Don't go for Bema seats. Just stay there and Bema yourself. Yeah, there, come on. And the guy's praying. I'm not sure he was praying about his situation. Commitment to life. How many people are on your roster or on your list? You are praying for them to grow spiritually. How many people are on your list? You must talk to this person this week about Jesus, this month. How many people are on your list this year? Do you even think about people? How many people are you praying for that they should receive the gospel? How many people are you planning to talk to? Do you seek those who are lost? Church, I like what Pastor Chris said years ago. Never forget it. He said, your salvation becomes functional when you share it with someone. That makes sense. He said, because you were saved, yes, unto God, but also to save others. That's the plain truth. I remember Reverend Chris Okoti said the same thing years back. He said, when you look at the eyes of God, he said, if you look into his eyes, he was being figurative. He said, if you look into his eyes, he said, it's likely you won't see yourself. You will see the people he wants to be like you. Our hearts must be stirred with the passion of Christ. There is a passion of the Christ. And it's not money. It's not position. It's not human awards. It's not marriage. It's not having kids. The passion of the Christ is not political appointments. It's not great businesses. It's not knowing the richest men in the world. No, what is in the mind of our Christ is to save. You don't need good English. You don't need money to do this. You don't need a car to do this. You don't need anything to do this but a heart. You don't need to travel to do this. You don't even need to go far to do this. All you need is a heart. A passion. A passion of our Christ. I'm going to ask this before we close. How many have heard you this year share Christ Jesus? This year. How many? How many? Don't know about you, the greatest joy in my heart is one, when someone believes the gospel. And two, when he understands it and he grows in it so that he can share it with others. Nothing else overwhelms them. Nothing else. Nothing else. Remember the night my brother pastor, he died. This week will be, say, 15 years now. And I had a reason to preach that night. Now, so, would you be able to go? I said, why won't I go? I said, well, you know, you're no. I said, the more reason why I should go. I must make the devil go mad. Some more folks will be in the kingdom tonight. And I'm wild. And I left, tears in my eyes. It was my only brother. And I walked there. And I taught the gospel. And people got born again. And that was a great memorial. And so shall it be forever. There is a passion of our Christ that made him take the contradiction of the sinners
spat on his body. He called out, called angels. He told Peter, he said, but you know what? I have to do this. I have to do this. Jesus had a choice. But he didn't take the choice. Everybody you see slaving themselves all over the place to share the gospel, they all have choices. The guy in Pakistan, the guy in Iraq, they have a choice to just be laid back and say, after all, I'm born again, thank God. But they chose not to take that choice. I can give excuses for all I care. I'm a busy man, my business, my age, my time. You know their excuses. If it's your passion, his passion, you will do it. Let's bow our heads and pray. It's not about getting people to your church. Never misunderstand this. It's not about having people to come to your church. It's about seeking those who have not heard. Whatever is on your heart, pray about the passion of our Christ. The passion of our Christ. Is that deliberate work to talk to people about Jesus? You can't outgrow it. You can't outpray it. You can't know so much and not